Here with more, we welcome Terry Lawrence, Executive Director of Downtown Vision, Inc. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Melissa.
And here with us in studio as well, Dale Stout. He is co-owner of Superfood Truck here in Jacksonville. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Melissa.
Jacksonville City Councilman Reggie Brown, after hearing a lot of feedback yesterday, says he'll form a committee made up of local residents to work on this proposed legislation. He wants to resolve issues around food trucks, defining what they are and how they should be regulated. Here's what Councilman Brown had to say yesterday.
We started this meeting out without a good definition, a working definition on what constitutes a food truck. And so until we do that, and that's the city's responsibility. I know the state has already done it, but the city, we do not have a city ordinance that identify what a food truck is. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that not only do we have federal and state regulations, but you need city regulations as well.
Okay, so let's begin with you, Dale Stout. You're the co-owner of a food truck, Super Food Truck. This seems on the face of it like a reasonable attempt at oversight. So why the outcry? Why the heated debate?
I think a lot of the outcry simply came from the fact that we had a draft legislation that was created without input from anybody who owned a food truck. And obviously nobody knew what a food truck was when they wrote the legislation. The more we talked yesterday, we found out they didn't know that we had health inspections or licenses or $1 million in insurance policies. So it was kind of like set up that they didn't know who we were and what we were doing and trying to ban us without understanding the concept and the marketability behind it.
Why do you feel this proposed legislation would effectively ban you or make it impossible for you to do business?
Well, it makes it so that we can't be within 500 feet of a residential zone neighborhood or a commercially zoned neighborhood. Most of us who are major food trucks go and are invited by Flagler Developments and other complexes to sell lunches on their private property, commercially zoned areas. No longer could we do that. Couldn't I go to subdivisions for block parties? Couldn't it be within 500 feet of a public park, 75 feet of a parking space? It's just really heavy-handed legislation that controls where we're able to go. And even though we're okay with the legislation, lets us know where we're all equal and how to act and how to behave. It's heavy-handed, prevents us from having a business that succeeds.
And if you're just joining the program, we're beginning the hour here on First Coast Connect with today's hot topic, whether or not the city needs more regulation over a growing industry, food trucks. We want your calls. Lots of calls already at 549-2937. Terry Lawrence, Executive Director of Downtown Vision, Inc. This is such an important issue for downtown that you've done some survey work on it, asking people where they stand. What did you come up with?
Well, first off, we're really excited that this conversation is actually happening and people are talking about downtown and they're talking about the vibrancy of downtown. So we're absolutely thrilled with that. Over the past couple of years, we've done a couple of surveys. 2 years ago, we surveyed folks about Hemming Plaza. What do we need to do to improve the park? Other than cleanliness and safety, the first issue that came out is have more food vendors. We recently did an art walk survey and said, what do we need to do? What will we get you to bring your friends and even more people to come downtown to our fantastic art walk? Other than more music and more art, the third issue we heard was we want more food options downtown. So when we found out about Councilman Brown's legislation, we did a survey, an online survey, and had about 300 respondents just yesterday asking about food trucks. And again, it's really no surprise what we heard. We heard of our 300 respondents, three quarters of them basically said, we want to see them. They add to the vibrancy of downtown. And we want to see them really with no restrictions. We did hear from about 16% of the folks that responded to the survey that said, yeah, we think there needs to be some restrictions, and we need to be mindful of the existing businesses that are down here.
And the existing brick-and-mortar restaurants have been vocal about this. They see these trucks as having an unfair advantage. Why is that?
I think that what the restaurants are looking for, they came and spoke yesterday at the public hearing and said they're not against food trucks. Their concerns are the limited 11 to 2 lunch hour, which is when some of them are only open. I would also add, though, that I think what they're really looking for is they're looking for predictability. They want to know what the rules are. They want to know how to play by. They want to know how many food trucks can come. And they're also looking for communications.
Dale Stout, you have a food truck. What's your response to, say, the owner of the Quiznos franchise or the Subway franchise on Hemming Plaza? Those are two of the names I saw. Lots of discussion about this on Twitter yesterday. Those were two of the establishments that see you as unfair competition. What's your response?
You know, competition is what drives adaptability. It makes you keep a fresh product. It makes you understand what your market is. When we do food truck rallies and there's 15 of us, I don't get upset when somebody looks at my window and my menu board and then goes to the next truck because they decided they don't want to eat what I'm serving that day. They chose that business concept. Both of those have had issues in the health concept of where we're moving and small market, healthy concepts, local food, and it's about being able to choose what you want to do. Choices are exactly what's there for people, and that's what we want downtown. People want more choices to come downtown.
After Councilman Brown got an earful from folks like you at this meeting, very well attended, he's asked for a group of local citizens to have input on whatever legislation they eventually draft. What are your thoughts about where things stand right now?
Well, you know, he asked to be on it, and I would absolutely love to be on it. I sent the email last night about that same thing. I think we do need to enforce some code enforcement that's already there, that a lot of the issues with what City Council was talking about would already surmise. But, you know, also talking about the argument between brick and mortar, we're trying to lease the old Starbucks location on the 11 East space and open a brick and mortar ourselves. Having a truck has let me establish a brand and marketability and customers who would come downtown. I can still run events that would generate revenue and allow us to afford the startup cost of opening a restaurant downtown. And it would help drive people downtown.
And that's the ultimate goal, of obviously, for your organization, Terry, to get more traffic in the urban core. The Downtown Investment Authority weighed in on this matter, too, yesterday, didn't they?
Absolutely. The Downtown Investment Authority really came out in support of food trucks as adding to the vibrancy of downtown, and also sort of added a qualifier about deciding where and when they are appropriate. We really need to pay attention to the vibrancy that these food trucks bring to downtown, and that vibrancy and its ability to attract other businesses that want to locate. And I don't mean food trucks. I mean that companies are going to want to come down here, bring more employees because of an added vibrancy with downtown.
And the lines are jammed as we ask our callers right now. What are your thoughts about proposed new regulation for a growing industry in the city? Food trucks, 549-2937. Dennis in Atlantic Beach starts us off. Hello, Dennis. Good morning.
Melissa, you know, it's ironic. All these food trucks are locally owned businesses. They're not big corporations like Starbucks, like Quiznos, like all these others. This is just a blatant attempt by all these big national corporations to run these small businesses out of town and limit their competition. And it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, limiting the area to you can't be within 500 feet of a local park. You can't swing a dead cat in this town without being next to a park. And I'm sorry, the legislation was totally off mark and totally unnecessary at this point. If the food trucks have to maintain the same regulations and requirements of a brick and mortar store, God bless them. Let them have at it. And let the free market run.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Let's go to John on the south side. John, what are your thoughts?
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for taking my call. This conversation started 4 years ago, and the legislation was 2010-856. I was at that DIA board meeting last night, and when they did sponsor that resolution for support of the food trucks, and I'm glad the conversation is also happening. And it's not only food trucks, but pending legislation 2007-451, which has to do with our waterways, also needs to be looked at. But what I see is legislative protectionism. And I wonder if Terry Lawrence could address the issue of Unity Plaza, which is a $2.7 million public park.
Yeah, but you know what, John?
To be open.
I know, John,
But how does that affect food trucks?
All right, John.
In other words, Hemming Plaza is also going to be looking for an individual RFP.
Okay.
And all I'm just saying is open it up for all the different small mom-and-pop businesses.
Thank you, John. Thanks for that feedback. Terry?
I believe what John was trying to say is Unity Plaza will be activating that public space the same way we will be working to try to activate Hemming Plaza with whatever happens to the RFP. That's going to be whenever the city decides to release the RFP, that's going to consist of making sure the surrounding businesses and local folks are involved and everybody's in the on the same page with what's happening moving forward.
549-2937. Candy in East Arlington has been holding. Hello, Candy. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, I have to say I love the food trucks. We have them in Gainesville, and there are no issues with the food trucks in Gainesville. So restaurant owners are not complaining. It offers variety. It offers things that people can afford compared to some of the more expensive restaurants. The food trucks that we have down there, they have a great variety. I mean, they do things, events down there sometimes where there might be two or three food trucks on our plaza, and the plaza in Gainesville, believe me, is smaller than Hemi.
Yeah, thanks, Candy. And, of course, lots more callers waiting on hold, lots of emails and tweets coming in, and it seems as though, Dale, most of these folks getting ready to weigh in are very supportive of food trucks. Councilman Brown told 89.9 yesterday he was actually surprised by the strong negative feedback about his ordinance and says it was never his intention to legislate food trucks out of business.
Well, a lot of that can be chalked up again to not understanding what our business is, who we are and what we do, not understanding the following that we develop through social media, how actively engaged we involve our customers. You know, when you have 10,000 people show up to an annual food truck challenge downtown and Indochine has one of its highest sales day ever, and Burrito Gallery has one of its highest sales day ever, and you have 10,000 people flooding downtown who would never go downtown on a Saturday night with no major sports event, it's a great event to go to. People love going to stuff like that. You know, and people did a backlash because they saw us trying to end something that was cool and hip in Jacksonville, especially since we have one of the youngest age groups of any city in Florida. People support us, they enjoy it, and it makes them feel part of the community. And that's why people got so enraged.
And lots of calls, emails, and tweets. Here's just a sampling. Marley emails the show, "We are trying to find ways to attract people and excitement. What is wrong with food trucks? Check out all the cities that aren't threatened by them. Come on, Jacksonville, think out of the box." And then on Twitter, from Harper, "Some of the best meals I've ever had came from food trucks." Aaron, "Regulations should be there to protect the public for food safety. Other than that, small business needs to thrive. Why can't they see that?" Would the final piece of legislation, would that be its main goal, Terry? Just making sure that health and safety and zoning regulations are recognized?
Absolutely. I think it's dealing with the economics of the trucks themselves. I think it's dealing with the public space component. Where can they be? Can they be on meters? Can they be on city-owned property? Can they be on private property owners and declaring that? And really just making sure we're all on the same page with what is a food cart, a mobile vending truck, or a food truck. There's so many descriptions out there that we know what we're all talking about.
I mean, for us, the major thing is private property owners. You know, saying that private property owners couldn't possibly have us on their own land downtown in a commercially zoned area is a major debacle for us. I think I could understand definitely parking at a meter. We're large. We take up large numbers of spaces. We have generators that pull out. I can maybe understand more of a legislative point of view on that. I think the thing that we're really trying to make sure is we still have the right to go to places that want us, that we can pay rent, that we pay lease rates for to go to, and so that we can still have the same opportunity to develop a business plan and a business concept and still be a good business citizen at the same time.
Keith on the north side is on the line. Hello, Keith. Good morning to you today.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a comment. Basically, the citizens of Jacksonville don't work for the city council. The actual city council works for the city, for the citizens of Jacksonville. And from what I gather, the past 48 hours, pretty much the city of Jacksonville has said, the citizens of Jacksonville have said that we want food trucks without all these restrictions. I don't eat at the normal brick-and-mortar places. Subway, Quiznos, I don't like those places, and I want to have a choice for me. Thank you very much.
Keith, thanks, and lots more emails pouring in. Here's one from a listener. "Wouldn't keeping trucks 75 feet from a parking space count out the entire downtown area? This seems ridiculous." And here's another one from a listener. I thought capitalism was about competition, not getting government to stave off competition from others, especially small, young startups. Twitter, more tweets just flowing into the show. Between the failure of anti-gay legislation and the anti-food truck bill, we are sending the message, go away, we don't want you. This has really touched a nerve. So much feedback. Let's go to Tom on the South Side. Hello, Tom. Thanks for your call.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I got a stupid question. Excuse me. Is a food truck and a roach coach the same thing?
Thank you for that. Well, of course, and I'm sure that's the concern of the councilman whose responsibility is to make sure that whatever food is served is safe and healthy for the public to eat. Let's discuss that aspect.
You know, a lot of food trucks would, you know, we cringe sometimes when we get called a roach coach. Most of us are impeccably clean. I did 35 health inspections last year. The city of Jacksonville inspects us every single time. We do a city-run event. Almost all of us are from restaurants. Most of us work in restaurants while we develop our business to start. It's a lot of creative hospitality individuals who want to do better food and better service compared to what you can do in a restaurant. And we wanted to bring it to consumers at a cheaper rate. So, you know, it's vastly different compared to what the old roach coaches used to be.
Terry Lawrence.
You know, it's all about that vibe we're trying to build downtown. That's all that I can say. I have to tell you, I'm absolutely amazed at the growth in the food truck industry. The National League of Cities did a report on food trucks and expects their growth to be somewhere near $2.6 billion a year. It is a trend that is happening, and it's a trend that's even happening in retail, as Dale talks about in his restaurant, how you're more than one things. The market is changing. The climate is changing. Times, they are changing.
Ryan in Ponte Vedra has some thoughts about it all. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for your call.
I'm happy to comment on this. I just want to say a few things. What is the policies in Orlando? When I was at UCF, that was a big function that we would attend, and I think Jacksonville can learn a lot as to look at the policies and to adapt and evolve and change those policies. The second thing is I think it's a little disheartening for the brick-and-mortar restaurants, because this is capitalism. If they want to compete and evolve, then it's why doesn't a Quiznos, a Firehouse, or a Chipotle go out and have their own food cart and brand their product and market it throughout the city of Jacksonville? And the last thing, and maybe the food vendor can comment on this, in terms of safety with their food licenses, you know, the state of Florida does not require a restaurant to post their health scores, and maybe this could be an opportunity for these food vendors to actually do that and actually put pressure back on the restaurant. To post their scores for health and safety. And I'll take my comment off the air.
Thanks, Ryan. Lots of points made by Ryan. Let's begin with his comment about how can we look to guidance from other cities. We're getting emails about that, too. In fact, wasn't this legislation modeled on other cities?
They're claiming the legislation was based off of Seattle's code and a couple other cities' codes. However, it was even pointed out yesterday by a citizen at large how we're saying 200 to 300 feet in Jacksonville from a brick and mortar, saying it was based off of Seattle's, who's only 50 feet from a brick and mortar restaurant. There's another other cities who have passed really good legislation. Actually, the Justice Institute is an economic freedom institute. They've done many programs for food trucks in cities. They've also sued a number of cities based on their anti-consumer laws. They have a program that they work with cities. They talk to other ones that have set up their programs and how they institute policies that help make cities vibrant and determined and allow food trucks to still work. I think we do have to look at some policies that have actually been written really well. Some cities have really done it great. Austin, for instance, has completely revitalized sections of their city with city-owned lots given to food trucks as food truck lots in their downtown core. They pay rent for those lots, and it lets people come to one spot, and mm-hmm. It's a vacant lot that was never used before. It gives them some sustainability and some use for land that just sits idle.
And as the caller pointed out, Terry, he challenged brick-and-mortar restaurants to put their own truck on wheels. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. I think a lot of restaurateurs, though, would argue that trying to run a restaurant as well as doing, and maybe Dale could chime in on that, trying to run a restaurant and having a food truck at your peak hours is difficult.
It's tough, sure. Bronson, in Avondale, is on the line with us. Hello, Bronson. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, I was just
calling in. I was at the meeting yesterday as well, and there's a lot of great points brought up, and the only anti point brought up are people with multi-store chain owners, again, not bringing all the money back into Jacksonville. And what the city's failing to really grasp is I've lived in New York City for 7 years and moved back down and saw the potential that Jacksonville has. And Jacksonville's really creating anti-competitive legislation. I'm the fourth generation here in Jacksonville. My grandfather built a marina in between six other marinas, and how he stood out was by having better service and better opportunities, and how food trucks are competing as they have better food than these brick-and-mortar places. And I don't understand how the city council doesn't realize that if a brick-and-mortar place wants to compete, to serve a better product. And I'll take my comments off air.
Bronson, thank you. And Gary on the north side has been holding quite some time. Hello, Gary. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling to let the listeners know we have well over 400 parks in this city. And most of them don't have facilities. So to make a law like that, you're really taking those food trucks out of service, not only downtown, but all around the city where people congregate.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. And he's talking about the piece of the ordinance that says you can't be too close to a city park, right?
It's 500 feet from a city park.
Do you see that piece of it going away?
Hopefully. I mean, we get invited to city parks. We, you know, the Police Athletic Association runs a number of programs off of Kernan. We are invited there. We pay a permit fee. We supply food to baseball teams, baseball conventions. You know, Riverside Avenue at Everbank, my truck's there today. We're within 50 feet of a food of a public park, but it's owned by Everbank. So they're basically being told that something that's a good use for them, since there's not a lot of healthy food options over on Riverside Avenue, right in that half-hour time span that a lot of their staff gets to eat. You know, we're hoping that it gets pulled back, and we're going to work on making it pull back.
Let's go to Chris on the west side. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I think that there's kind of a parallel here between what a lot of other businesses, a lot of other retail establishments have been forced to face after the recession, and that's that, you know, customers' habits have changed dramatically. You have to actually go to where the customers are a lot. You can't just kind of open your doors and expect them to come in. You have to get involved with the community, and I think that's what food trucks are doing. There was a void. I think they're filling it, and I think they need to, you know, definitely legislate it a little bit, but, I mean, not very much. I mean, like, I guess some laws in Seattle, the way it's regulated there, for example, would work pretty well. Minor legislation, not like this, not drastic, not kill the business model.
Thanks, thank you, Chris. And Terry Lawrence, your survey echoes what that caller just had to say. Have you shared your survey results with City Hall?
We have not, because literally it's been 24, 48 hours since this has came up. We do intend to share this with City Hall. And again, I think it's just where Councilman Brown is heading. There needs to be a dialogue. There needs to be a dialogue with the city council, the mayor's office, restaurateurs and food trucks sitting down and competing interests talking with each other. And I again, it's the predictability that food truck owners want to know how it is to operate the business, and that restaurateurs want to know as well. And that's what it's all about.
And so that it does sound as though that conversation is going to happen.
Absolutely. He took a number of people from the public hearing yesterday to have that conversation. Everybody's open to it. You know, we just want a level playing field. Nobody wants to be able to have definitely a boundary that you're not allowed to be within. I think if everybody gets to have the conversation, restaurants know what to expect from us. We know that our business model isn't going to be pulled out from underneath us after sinking $50,000 to $100,000 into a truck is what they're going for now. Top grossing trucks can do $2 million in other cities. Jacksonville's not there yet. But it's definitely a successful business concept if you do it right. And to put that money forth and then be told you can't go somewhere and you can't have a feasible business, it'd be nice to understand and have some rules that we can stand to and know what we should expect.
Well, it's certainly caught many folks' attention, so we appreciate you coming in here to share your thoughts. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.